Hello everyone, and welcome to today's webinar, Interactive Voice Response, Its Growing Role in Agricultural Extension Services. My name is Dana James, and I'm a Knowledge Management Specialist with the Feed the Future Knowledge-Driven Agricultural Development Project, and I'm a part of the AgriLinks team. We're very happy to have Judy Payne, the ICT Advisor for Agriculture with USAID's Bureau of Security, join us as our moderator today. Judy helps USAID missions, projects, and implementing partners around the world use information and communications technologies as a tool for sustainable economic growth and scalable ag development solutions. Judy will briefly set the stage for today's presentation, and then we'll introduce Rickon, David, and Neil, our speakers for this talk. So, Judy, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Dana. This is Judy, and as Dana said, I work in ICT for the USAID and our implementing partners, and also any other folks out there that are using information technology to improve access to agriculture information and improve productivity for poor farmers. Today we're going to be looking into a topic called Interactive Voice Response, IVR. It's a type of service that Americans actually hate because we all think of it as a way that we can't get to customer service in many of the businesses in the U.S. Call in a number, instead of hearing a person, we hear some recording that says, your call is important to us. Dial 1 for your account number, etc. But it turns out that IVR has great qualities and actually much more capabilities than I knew. And so I've been watching it and learning about it for the last couple of years. And so this webinar is an exciting one for me because we can get the word out to others and start sharing our experience on what works with IVR and how it can be integrated with other digital tools for agriculture. Today, I think we have the three best speakers I could think of to speak on the topic. Rickon Gandhi will go first, and he's the chief executive of Digital Green. You all may know about Digital Green for its low-cost video technology. They're using it well in Ethiopia, India, Ghana, and many other places now. You may not know that Rickon also is working very closely to integrate various digital means into public extension services in Ethiopia and India and elsewhere, and integrate low-cost video with IVR. So he'll speak about IVR options and how he's using it. Our next speaker will be David McAfee. He runs a company called Human Network International, HNI. I first met David when I heard about his 321 service in Madagascar, which has now taken off and is being rolled out in 15 different countries in Africa and Asia. He has a really interesting and compelling model, partnering with mobile network operators and trying to milk as much as he can out of IVR to help poor farmers. So I think you'll enjoy David's remarks. And finally, Neil Patel is joining us. He's the co-founder and CEO of Awasde. You can see his resume here. What I know him as is a fellow that has essentially an IVR system on steroids. He'll describe various capabilities that I never thought would be part of IVR systems, and that he's now integrating into an IVR system for the country of Ethiopia run by its ministry. Let's start with Rickon first. Rickon?
Thanks, Judy. As Judy introduced, interactive voice response systems have a lot of different types of features that they're able to provide for agricultural extension. And I'd say that we're just at the beginning of being able to experiment with a number of them. For us at Digital Green, as Judy mentioned, we primarily focused on using video to support existing agricultural extension systems. But we found a lot of value in partnering with various service providers who have been involved in leading the creation of interactive voice response systems to enhance these services. And we think that these same services could help other organizations that may or may not already be using various types of information and communication technologies. And some of those features of interactive voice response that are unique and that are that provide additional value on top of an existing agricultural extension program are, first, that it is voice-based. So it only relies on the most basic feature phone to be able to be used. It just requires a phone call to be able to be accepted by a phone, which is, of course, the most common feature that all phones have, and for interactive voice response to be accessible. It also makes extension, not just the traditional top-down style of extension of a one-way flow of information, it permits individuals who receive these calls to also call back and be able to ask questions and leave feedback and save their recordings as they interact with this knowledge, while at the same time being able to both blast out messages to individuals across all of their phones that might be common issues that you might want to share to many farmers simultaneously instead of having to engage with them individually or to call them individually one by one, while at the same time being able to make those messages targeted to different types of farmers based on their phone numbers, which could be linked to the geographies in which they're based or could be based on the types of commodities that they're involved in growing. And that targeting can be grounded in the data that farmers may have already provided in terms of registration information of where they're located and what commodities they're interested in. And that data can kind of be paired with the targeting of these messaging. And finally, it's not just that these messages have to be fully automated. There's a great advantage of an efficiency play that Interactive Voice Response, or IVR, is able to provide because you can have these pre-recorded audio messages that can be sent out to individuals at the same time. However, at the same time, these IVR systems can be linked to human services where you can pass on an automated phone call, for instance, to a human call center that could allow for a real-time two-way discussion or conversation with an individual who might be on the phone line. So there's a lot of different types of features that interactive voice response allows that essentially allows for extension to move from its top-down, single-direction, broadcast-style information messaging approach to a more interactive or targeted knowledge exchange type of system. The way that we think about extension systems in general at Digital Green is that you start with a farming community. There's various types of social organizations that exist at a community level, and those are farmer clubs and farmer groups to women's self-help groups and mothers groups, all of whom might be involved in various types of agriculture, nutrition-based information sharing. At the same time, there is these extension systems of government, of non-governmental actors, of private agribusiness, who is involved in linking these social organizations of farmers together and providing a frontline cater of extension agents or lead farmers or others who are oftentimes involved in mobilizing and strengthening these farmer organizations by sharing information in the form of demonstration plots, farmer field schools, and other types of extension approaches. And then there are all of these information communication technology approaches that serve as a layer on top of what these extension services are already doing. Sometimes these digital technology services are disintermediating these extension systems, but oftentimes they're strengthening the extension systems that are already out there. And that's where we find the most success and the most, the greatest opportunity to be able to boost their efficiency and their effectiveness through various types of technology-enhanced approaches to extension. And so with interactive voice response in particular, the types of features that we found to be most effective have been features like being able to broadcast messages to a large population of farmers simultaneously that could be based on the registration of these farmers at a particular geography or producing a particular type of commodity. And that might be involved in being able to inform all these farmers at the same time about, say, an outbreak related to pest or disease issues, or providing a call center functionality to be able to allow farmers to have a helpline from a human base of individuals, of experts, who may be able to respond to these communities' individual concerns. There's also an opportunity to use interactive response for more two-way types of discussions. Sometimes it can be more to create feedback discussions in the form of question and answer discussions between farmers and the extension agents that that might be serving them. And also, there can be opportunities for creating fora between the farming communities themselves to answer questions by one another, and even for the extension agents themselves to be able to have a almost virtual community of practice to be able to share information between these oftentimes dispersed and individual extension agents that are scattered across a country, to be able to have an opportunity to connect with one another and share questions and receive support from each other. And finally, there's also this opportunity to use all the data that is collected from an interactive voice response system as you're able to record what individuals are listening to which messages for which duration, and which of these messages, for instance, is most popular, or what are the questions that folks are asking. And of course, you can also ask questions yourself by running surveys of farming communities to be able to have them respond about what parts of the extension system do they find most engaging for themselves, or what practices that did an extension system promote did they actually adopt. And that data and that feedback that is collected, whether it is through a purposeful, conscious sort of collection process through surveys, or if it's just done sort of in the background as you're just logging data from the interactive voice response system, can be used to create performance management systems for the extension agents themselves to be able to evaluate how is the extension system ultimately providing value to farmers at the ground. And what we see that this interactive response system set of features providing is an enhancement on top of the existing extension systems that already exist, and being able to serve as complementary to these other channels of ICT that could also exist in close integration with the use of IVR. In our case, we use video and also radio in some of the work that we do with public extension systems in parts of South Asia and in sub-Saharan Africa. And these tools of ICT provide maximum value when there's integration across them, and where you're able to share data, for instance, across multiple channels of ICT to make each of those channels much more targeted and much more efficient for being able to provide value to farming communities. We've worked as a practitioner extension provider together with our partner extension systems in various geographies where we work with other interactive voice response system providers, because oftentimes you could go out and produce an interactive voice response system yourself, but it is a huge burden from a technology development perspective to be able to do that kind of development process from scratch. And there are already a number of service providers that we'll hear about today from Awaj Day, Neil, as well as others who are on the line with us on this webinar, who have already developed a large stack of functionality for interactive voice response that we can all use to be able to provide custom solutions for the various types of agricultural extension programs that we're all involved in. So here on this slide, we've just highlighted four providers, Exotel, Awaj Day, Vodo, and Engage Spark, and compared some of the key features. Some of the key features in any interactive voice response system are things like being able to broadcast messages to a huge pool of farmers that you might want to reach out to, being able to allow those that you send out messages to be able to give back feedback and to be able to record that, and allow these individuals who are interacting with the interactive voice response system to do so using various types of voice and or touch tone keypad entry sorts of modes of interaction. And for most of those basic features, all of these interactive voice response service providers provide that feature set. But there is more variation when it comes to the level of customization that is possible across each of these systems. And some of them have more require more advanced technical input when you're trying to create, for instance, a more dynamic type of a calling system, or being able to have different types of prompts that might be in different languages and that might have different tiers of having a user to be able to interact with the system. And so some of these service providers are geared primarily for an audience of techies who might need to do this customization with a web-based user interface or might need to use an API to be able to customize some of their services, while some of them are much more easy to customize through a web-based user interface and without having to get into the code itself. And so there's variation across each of these service providers, and there's also differences with regard to their reach and to some extent some of their costing. But their costing is largely dictated by the local mobile telecom operators that each of these services partner with to be able to provide access to them. And so there's going to be variation that is based on per minute cost, for instance. But so that's just a snapshot to give you a sense of the various types of core features and advanced features that each of these service providers offers. And you'll hear more about some of them, especially Avajde, later in this webinar. But with that, I'd like to thank everyone for this opportunity to participate in this webinar and hand over to David.
Rick, and thank you again for that explanation on IVR. It was really well done. So I'm here today representing a consortium of organizations who have worked together over the past 6 years on social and behavior change communication and community engagement projects. I'm the president and CEO of Human Network International. H&I's mission is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. We want to help other organizations and individuals to use technology in innovative and sustainable and productive ways. So we really think of ourselves as capacity builders. So we're not an agricultural organization. We're not a public health organization. We really just focus on technology. Our headquarters are here in Washington, and we have offices in about 13 countries now. But basically, we wake up every day and we think about how to squeeze more productivity and efficiency gains from mobile phones, because the reality is that there are more phones on this planet than people now. And it may be, the mobile phone may be the first new behavior change communication channel, maybe since the television. So we've got a really great opportunity now. I'd like to talk today about one of our initiatives. It's called the 321 service. And it's an initiative to really help isolated people in the developing world to get access to information on an on-demand basis. And I really want to emphasize that on-demand part. Because those of us who are on this call today, we're lucky. If we have a question, we can get a pretty reliable answer thanks to search engines like Google. The people in the developing world, they need access to on-demand information, perhaps even more than we do, but illiteracy and lack of internet access isolates people. So in response, we developed what we call the 321 service, which we think of as a search engine where there is no internet. So the government of Madagascar, Airtel, our telecom partner, and H&I, we first launched the 321 service in Madagascar about 6 years ago now, in March of 2010. So here's how it works. So if you're in Madagascar, and you are among the 3.5 or 4 million Airtel subscribers, you can take your own phone and you can call 321, a toll-free short code, anytime, anywhere, and this is the welcome message you'll hear. Thank you for calling the 321 service, a new service that provides you with useful information. You can call this phone number for free 10 times each month. After the 10th call, you pay just 4 cents for each call. You have 8 choices. Listen closely to these subjects, then make your choice. Would you like to know about gender? Press 1. Health? 2. Agriculture, microfinance, water and sanitation, land title, family planning, emergency preparedness. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions about the 321 service, please call the toll-free number. If you want to hear your choices again, press the pound button. So 321 is what we call a pull channel. It means that farmers proactively choose their own time, place, and subject to get information, just like we use Google. So the way we think of the 321 service is that it's a little bit like a stool with three legs. So the first leg is scale, the second leg is sustainability, and the third is impact. And obviously all three of these legs are important, because without one of them, the stool really falls over. So let's talk about scale first. So since the launch of 321 back in 2010, we've had about 5 million unique callers in Madagascar make 60 million information requests. We've also recently expanded the 321 service to Malawi in October of 2014. And on this slide, you can see the agricultural menus. So callers make three decisions to get to their key message. In this example, the caller chose agriculture, and then soya, and then planting. You can see the various topics in that last menu follow the agricultural calendar more or less. Each key message is then about a minute long, which equals about 6 to 8 full sentences. Messages can either be static in nature, like malaria is caused by mosquitoes that bite at night. Once you put that message up there, you don't need to change it. It's static, and thousands of people will listen to it every month. Or the messages can also be dynamic in nature, such as crop pricing, which often change on a daily basis. So as Rick had mentioned, even a big advantage of IVR is the fact that even illiterate audiences can benefit, because they're simply listening to prompts and menus and then choosing a key message then to listen to. So the great thing about ICT projects is the information or the data that you can collect. We use Vodamobile's platform to organize the content and then also to visualize the data for the callers. This is an example of the dashboard of the 321 service in Malawi. So we know lots about our users, their telephone number, the time and date stamp, the choices they make at each menu, the key message that they listen to. We even know if they listen to the entire key message or if they hang up somewhere in between. So this dashboard covers the time period from the 1st of October to yesterday. So it's about 6.5 months. And you can see in the upper right-hand corner, we've received during that time about 3.3 million calls. So that averages out to about 500,000 calls per month, or about 17,000 per day. Now remember, we're talking about Malawi here, with a population of about 22 million people. Airtel, who is our partner in Malawi as well, they have about 3 million subscribers. So the pie chart shows the menu choices of those who remained on the call, and you can see that agriculture plus weather equals about 70% of our callers. So as you may know, in Malawi, at the end of last year, the rains were very late, and smallholder farmers were very interested in the forecast, which really drove usage. You can also see we've received about 278,000 agricultural calls. That's coming from about 100,000 farmers. So again, we believe we're attaining scale. So I'd like to talk a little bit about our relationship with our telecom partners, because this speaks to the second leg of our stool, which is sustainability. So our telecom partners own the 321 service, and at the beginning, we propose a simple trade. We propose free content. We give the content to the telecom provider. If the telecom provider agrees to provide the information free of charge to their subscribers and to promote the service. So our goal is to make the 321 service available on all phones in a country like Malawi. But this is a pretty new idea in terms of trading free content for free distribution. So to get started, we sign an exclusive agreement with one telecom in a country. But we hope that over time, we can actually spread that 321 service to all telecoms in the country, because we time-bound the exclusivity with Airtel. It's 1 year or 2 years, and at the end of that period, then we're going to work to make the 321 service available on all phones. So in terms of our standard agreement, the telecoms cover the two biggest costs, the marketing of the service and then all of the traffic. And by traffic, I mean airtime minutes. Our telecom partners, they agree to make the content available across four different channels. So IVR voice, which we've been talking about, but also to make the content available on SMS and USSD for literate farmers. And then they also agree to zero rate our website, 321online.org, which is really useful, especially for agricultural extension agents, because organizations can create simple training videos, make them available on our website, and then 50 or 500 or 5,000 agricultural extension agents can download those videos and then use them offline in the course of their work. In order for the 321 service to be offered as a sustained service, we have to cover the third cost, which is the creation of the content. And that's an ongoing expense. And we do this in a variety of different ways. So in essence, we run the 321 service as a B2B model, as a business-to-business model, and we essentially sell space on the 321 service. So we approach implementers working across the various development sectors, and we ask them to consider spending some of their communication budgets to put their messages up on 321 as a complement to their more traditional channels, such as radio and television, and even interpersonal communications. Once traffic volumes increase, we also sell sponsorships. So an example would be this month that the 321 service is brought to you by Colgate Toothpaste. Brush your teeth with Colgate. So that's another way of generating revenue, which can then be used to refresh the content on a regular basis. So we launched the 321 service in Madagascar and Malawi independent of donor funding. And now, 6 years later, the telecoms continue to offer the 321 service to their subscribers. So we really believe that this speaks to the second leg of our stool, which is that sustainability leg. And I would really encourage everyone on this call to think about ownership. When we create these services, who owns them? Because ownership is important, especially after your funded project ends. So why? Why would Airtel consider giving away the equivalent of something like 40 years of airtime? When you add up all of the airtime minutes, it comes to something like 40 years of airtime. We estimate that Airtel contributes about $1 million in traffic costs for the 321 service every year. And the reality is that despite the fact that it's free to their subscribers, to their end users, the 321 service actually makes our telecom partner money. It's what they call a sticky service. It helps them retain their own subscribers and basically steal from the other guy. Because the telecom market in the countries where we work, it's extremely competitive, and any edge that telecom companies can get, they want to take advantage of. So these are some statistics from Madagascar. We also see that people eventually start spending more money on their phones. So ARPU is the average revenue per user. We see that 321 users are more loyal. Churn means that they get tired of their telephone company and switch. So we see decreases in churn and increases in revenue. But the statistic that I'm most pleased with is the subscriber base penetration. Somewhere between 7 to 10% of Airtel's subscribers use the 321 service every month. So here's a map of our expansion plans for the 321 service. We have signed deals with the telecoms in these 13 countries, and together they have a combined subscriber base of about 100 million people. So if we can maintain our 7 to 10% user rates, we could realistically have 10 million 321 callers each month by the end of this year. We're soon going to be adding additional countries. Last month I was in Afghanistan negotiating with the telecoms there. We're also adding Haiti, Rwanda, and Senegal in the short term. So I mentioned our three-legged stool. The third leg is impact, and we've gotten some very positive feedback from callback surveys. Just to give you an example, in Malawi, 96% of women said that the 321 service added value to their lives, but to date, our research hasn't been rigorous enough. We think that's about to change, however. We recently won a Grand Challenge Exploration grant from the Gates Foundation, and we're also among the finalists for the Saving Lives at Birth, a Grand Challenge for Development grant. Judy has also recently put me in touch with the Poverty Action Lab at MIT, so we believe that we'll soon have the resources required to conduct much more rigorous impact evaluations. So in terms of integrating the 321 service with extension services, this is a huge priority for us. All of the ag messages in Malawi are written by a local content committee that's chaired by the Ministry of Agriculture, and we're adding an audio job aids section to the 321 service for agricultural extension agents. So, for instance, agricultural extension agents, they would call the 321 service and they would hear press 9 if you're an agricultural extension agent. And here we would create a special menu for the ag extension agents themselves in terms of reminders and audio job aids, and just as a way of communicating with hundreds, if not thousands, of agricultural extension agents simultaneously. And again, Judy has been a big help to us in terms of layering on this ICT aspect to agricultural extension work. H&I is a partner in two New Alliance ICT Extension Challenge grants in Malawi and now in Mozambique, where incorporating ICT into agricultural extension work is really important. So in terms of next steps, we want to make the 321 service much more responsive to the needs of each individual farmer. The information we have on 321 is still pretty generic. We'd like to offer each farmer his or her own specific information. We're starting to do that now. At the end of each key agricultural message, we signpost to other resources. So, for instance, the farmer would hear, if you'd like more information on this topic, go here. For instance, if there's an agricultural call center, we can link the farmer automatically to that call center. We also give farmers the option of pushing a button to opt in to receive push messages or even robocalls for additional information on a topic of their choice. For instance, if they're interested in crop pricing, farmers can select the market and the crop and then get automatic SMS push to them for free. But the big push we're going to make in the next year is to really personalize the service. And by that, our big push will be user-generated content. So I'd love to be able to give farmers the ability to explain that they have a product to sell, for instance, 50 tons of potatoes, to give them the opportunity of leaving a voice message on 321 in an effort to connect sellers and buyers. I'd also like to give them the opportunity of creating various forums. So I have a particular problem with little red bugs on my potato plants. Can somebody help me with this? And then finally, we're really interested in providing individual advice. So a farmer puts in his crop or her crop, the planting date, and then based on the number of degree days and the upcoming forecast, we would push the farmer recommendations about the use of fertilizers and then the optimal time to harvest. So these are some of the ways that we're using the 321 service in countries to help with agriculture and other topics that are important to farmers, such as offering weather forecasts and even early warning alerts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David and Ritten. I wanted to point out that David's HNI organization is also working to integrate their services with radio in Malawi and Mozambique and maybe elsewhere. That's radio is a long-time popular tool for ICT and ag, and of course, various radio services are moving into mobile services, and now they're integrating with IVR. And the second point I wanted to make or reemphasize with what David said was that the first time I talked to David, I knew his organization was very small, and it still is very small and lean. Every time I asked him a question, can your system do this or that, or how many people use it for this or that, he always had an answer. And I said, oh, wait a second, David, how in the world can you do all this? And he said, we use Vodomobile as our service provider. So note that HNI is using Vodomobile, and they're extending the way they use it in each country with more capabilities. So we could have a whole different discussion about how David uses Vodomobile and how easy it is, but we'll reserve that for some of our Q&A. Now we'll turn to Neil, who has a system somewhat like Vodomobile called Awajde, and he'll explain how his service works.
Thanks, Judy, and hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you all, and great to see such a wonderful turnout for this webinar. I'm going to present about Awajde, which has been working in IVR systems for the development sector for many years. We were one of the first organizations to get started in this space, and most of our work is based out of India, but increasingly working in other places around the world, particularly Africa. So in terms of who we are a organization that started in 2011, and we were based off of a research project done out of Stanford University and UC Berkeley, led by myself and my co-founders up in Peru. And we were interested in trying to leverage IVR to, in the beginning, reach small-scale farmers in India. And our early research work led to developing a suite of different tools, all based on IVR, to communicate to the last mile in various ways. So we focus on the development sector, and our expertise is in IVR, but we provide a variety of different mobile solutions. And we've served millions of phone calls, reaching hundreds of thousands of people, mostly in India, but as mentioned, increasingly in places such as Africa and South America. With respect to agriculture, we started our work in agriculture, as mentioned. Our first project was a question and answer service for smallholder farmers in Gujarat, India, to be able to ask and answer agriculture-related questions. Since then, we've worked with a number of different organizations to provide various types of IVR-based extension services, ranging from information dissemination, data collection, and also, as mentioned, peer-to-peer based information sharing. Here is a look at some of the organizations that we've worked with. For the purposes of this presentation, and just given we don't have a lot of time, I'm going to focus on three different organizations or services that we've developed and have partnered with organizations to provide that will give you a sense for the type of ways that we found IVR useful and effective in reaching and connecting smallholder farmers. So I'm going to start by talking about a discussion forum in Gujarat, move on to a sort of push message-based service also in Gujarat, and then finally end with one of our most recent projects, which is working with the Ministry of Agriculture and the ATA in Ethiopia to deliver question and answer functionality at a country scale. And you'll notice here that the size of the project also increases, and we can discuss how the different types of service also affect the size and the scale and the relationship between the two. But this would also give a sense for small to large the types of application that IVR can have in various contexts. So I'm going to start with Sajeev Kheti Samvad. Sajeev Kheti is the Gujarati term for organic farming. It means living agriculture, literally. And Samvad means conversation or dialogue. So this service is meant specifically for organic farmers in the state of Gujarat. The system is completely in Gujarati. For basically accessing and sharing agricultural information related to organic farming. So a farmer who is interested in organic farming may get to know that this number is available, just calls in. It's a local Gujarat circle number, so it's like making a regular phone call, and access one of several menu options to get different types of information. Because organic farming is still relatively new to many farmers, at least in this generation, we offer a way for a farmer to call in and just get basic information about organic farming. So that's the general information section. They can then also access announcements related to the organic farming movement in the state, and then also access a question and answer forum where they can ask questions and hear the responses of other farmers. And then finally, a buyer and seller marketplace where farmers can either offer some organic produce that they are willing to sell, or buyers call in to request organic produce that they would like to buy, and it becomes a market whereby buyers and sellers can connect with each other. Sort of related, in fact, identical to the concept that David discussed in the last presentation. So this is a relatively small-scale service, and I want to emphasize that it's small-scale. You know, it's a few hundred farmers and, you know, a few thousand messages, but it's suitable to the particular goals of this particular context, which is building a community of organic farmers. One of the most interesting aspects of Sajeev Kheti Samvad is that the questions that farmers ask are responded directly by other farmers. There is no organization besides simple moderation and coordination that is involved in answering the questions of farmers. It is accomplished or senior organic farmers who respond to the questions of other farmers, which is really one of the more unique aspects of the system, and maybe in India and potentially in the world, where it's a pure farmer-to-farmer knowledge sharing service. And this system was derived out of earlier work that we did where we developed an organic certification system for farmers where, again, it was a peer-to-peer driven certification model where more senior farmers were the essential, essentially the inspectors or raiders for the new farmers. So in keeping with this concept of mentorship of more senior farmers helping others, this forum sort of reflects that in a sort of a digital forum. I will also draw a note to the buyer and seller marketplace to just give you a sense for how this works. A person navigates through one menu navigational step into the buyer and seller forum. They're prompted to either record a message or listen to previously recorded messages. If they record a message, then they're prompted after a beep to either share a message about what they want to buy or what they're willing to sell. And then once a message gets captured by the system, a moderator decides whether it's a buying or selling related question, related message, and tags it accordingly. And then when somebody goes down to listen to buying the buyer and seller forum, they can choose to either listen to buyer-related messages, seller-related messages, or all messages, so that there's a little bit of a filtration. One of the limitations of IVR is that you only can listen to one message at a time. So you want to design your IVR system smartly so that you can get to the content that you require as quickly as possible. So you use some filtration. Of course, the trade-off is there's more navigational steps to get to the content. So it's a design trade-off. So this is an example of a true peer-to-peer, farmer-to-farmer information sharing system. The next system I want to share about is called Kerutati. Kerut means farmer, Tati means friend. This is another agriculture-related service that Avaze itself launched in Gujarat in 2013. The idea here was to focus on push-based content. So whereas Sajid Kheti Sanvad was a farmer-to-farmer, a many-to-many connecting system, in the case of Kedusavi, it was a one-to-many system. We had a group of agricultural experts who would basically compose agricultural content based on the growing season and the types of crops that were popular in specific regions, and create essentially audio podcasts. You know, 2 to 3 times a week, short episodes ranging from 60 seconds to 120 seconds, so 1 to 2 minutes, not too long, which would kind of give you the content of the day. And we actually took an additional step to add some production value to these messages. So it wasn't just dry agricultural content, but we partnered with a local media house that focuses on rural content, and added scripted dialogue, background music, made it an infotainment kind of service to hopefully increase the engagement of the system amongst the farmers. So we're not just interested in, say, reaching 1 million farmers. We're interested in reaching 1 million farmers who would continue to call in or to pick up and hear those messages. We wanted to create a very sticky system. And so for that, we thought of creating a more engaging content format. That ended up working very well, and many farmers subscribe to the system, but what we're most proud of is that very few opt out, and so they continue to remain subscribed. And on top of that, for each message that we broadcast, again, a simple phone call going to a farmer's phone with the Kerutati phone number in the caller ID, they recognize it and they pick up, and they pick up continuously message after message, up to 70% or more of the farmers subscribe pick up. So this is a really an incredible example of a sticky service. A couple other innovative things that we've done with this system. One is we started off feeding the content on Kerutati with sort of expert-based content that we would kind of work, our agricultural team would develop and then send out. But we would also collect feedback from farmers. So when a message went out, there would be a prompt for the farmer to record their feedback about the message. And we left it at that. We left it open-ended. It could be a follow-up question. It could be a suggestion for new content. It could be your open-ended experience. And in fact, that's what farmers ended up sharing. They ended up sharing a wide variety of different types of messages that A, informed future content, but also we found that many farmers were sharing in such a way that what their experiences were would be relevant to the rest of the farmers on the service. So over time, we started taking some of the choice content that came in response to our original content and basically retweeting it back out to the entire subscriber base in the exact voice of the farmer. We basically left the messages intact. And so essentially, farmers began over time hearing more and more from themselves, from each other, in terms of the content that they were receiving. When we did subsequent field research to ask farmers about the content, overwhelmingly, the farmers preferred hearing content from their peers. This is, of course, a result that Digital Green has shown in their own work, that farmers are very interested, very engaged when content is coming from other farmers. So what was cool about Tabletopia is it became something that over time became more and more owned by the subscribers. The voice of Tabletopia became less and less us, the administrators of the system, and more the farmers themselves. And that ultimately is what continued to increase the engagement. Along with that, forward to friend, we added a feature where farmers who were subscribed to the service could press forward to forward the message on to up to five of their buddies. And they would do that by essentially keying in the 10-digit number of each of their friends, and the system would then queue up the message to go out to those additional people. So in that way, we were interested in seeing how the system would spread in a viral way, leveraging existing peer networks of farmers. And very interestingly, about a third of farmers ended up choosing to forward a message on to a friend at some given time. This was actually way beyond what we had expected, but was, of course, in hindsight, quite obvious that farmers inherently have, you know, peer networks and are anxious to share with others. And this is also a more organic way that we can grow the user base. Another final thing I'll share about this system is we experimented from a sustainability standpoint, which David rightly pointed out is a very key component to any sort of extension service. We started experimenting with sending advertising content. We partnered with a local agricultural input company who wanted to reach directly to farmers. They were sending television and radio ads, but they saw the mobile-based system as an additional channel to very directly target, in a targeted way, reach farmers. And through both SMS and voice ads, was actually very successful in getting a number of leads. In one campaign, I think it was 30% of farmers reached responded with interest to an advertising scheme that was offered, which is really unheard of for the advertiser. They were very pleased. Finally, I'll end with sharing a little bit about one of our latest projects, and this is in collaboration with Digital Green, and it's a USAID-supported project that we're doing in Ethiopia. It's a consortium along with Digital Green. There is Farm Radio International and also Dimagi, and we're experimenting with innovative usages of ICT for improving extension and benefiting farmers in Ethiopia. We are there to basically, you know, as I described, leverage IDR in various ways. While working on our own project, our existing work, we were connected with the Agricultural Transformation Agency, the ATA, in Ethiopia, who was already running a national hotline for farmers. It was called 8028. Still exists. And it's a static IVR, much in the line of the 3-2-1 system that David described, whereby farmers would navigate an IVR tree and get to agricultural content that was based on their choice of crop and of topic. And also, a first-time caller, very interestingly, would have to go through a gamut of profile-related questions asking about things like the size of their farm, the crop that they grow. It would take roughly 15 minutes for a first-time caller to register themselves with this system, but the majority of callers end up registering their system just to get to the content, which shows the demand for the content. But in the process, we have very detailed profiles of about 1.2 million farmers in Ethiopia with very specific data about their profile. And along with that, we can now then turn around and send very targeted content. Another thing that David mentioned with regard to personalization. So anyway, we have the static line. ATA was interested in Avagde's work with more interactive features of IVR and wanted to work with us to implement a question and answer functionality on top of the static system that they already had. So over the last few months of 2015, we collaborated with APA along with local IT companies in Ethiopia to implement a question and answer service where farmers would call into the same number, but after listening to the static content, if they were still unable to get the information they required, could press an option to record a question. After the beep sounded, it would record their question, and the system, much like with Sanjeev KP Samad, would get captured and available through a web-based interface for a moderator to listen to the question, to tag the question, and very importantly, assign it to an expert who would be able to readily respond to the question and deliver, of course, a more personalized response. We just launched a pilot for this system, so we only have early data. The goal is, if the pilot is successful, to make the service available across the entire state of Ethiopia, country of Ethiopia. Right now, we're piloting in 16 villages. The early results have been very impressive. Despite the fact that this is an off-season for farmers, the interest and enthusiasm to record questions has been really, really impressive. So we have about, I think even since this slide was developed, I think we've now crossed 3,000 recordings to the system by farmers. And I want to mention, emphasize recording, because most of these recordings are faulty. So the farmers are being exposed to the system for the very first time, and many of them are not recording actual questions. They're recording a recording, but the questions are not necessarily coming in as legitimate. And so many of them are being tagged in the system as, quote, accidental entry, as I mentioned here. It's an interesting development, and what we've instructed the moderators to do is to not ignore these accidental entry messages, whether they're noise or they're misrecorded or they're incomplete questions. Every single recording is going to get a response back from the system and uploaded by the moderator. So the moderators have a preset set of canned responses. In the case of a misrecording or inaudible recording, they record a response, they upload a response so that the farmer is informed, so the next time they go to ask a question, they would be able to be more prepared to ask, to record properly so that they can get their question actually addressed. So we that's an example of how we bootstrap the learning of the system through the system itself. Question and answer is something that's unfamiliar to many of the farmers. It's going to take some time for them to uptake it, and it's potentially very daunting and expensive to go farmer to farmer and train them on how to use the system. So let's use the system itself to the best of our ability to inform the farmers. Another way that we can do that is by offering FAQs. So over time, if there are a set of questions that are common, that are well asked, then we can also make those available through the IVR system so that farmers can hear other farmers asking questions. That would give them a sense for what a question actually is, what's a legitimate way to ask a question, what other questions are farmers asking. This is an indirect way of learning for them to be able to ask questions that can be readily responded to. And along with that, we have some other projects planned with APA, including doing data collection with voice-based surveys. I'll end there, or end with a few key challenges, and we can probably get more into these in the discussion. But IVR, for all of its benefits, there are some challenges. One of the biggest challenges is the technical difficulty in setting up IVR. Different countries have different rules and regulations with respect to voice over IP and telephony. That has to be navigated. Telephony software is itself somewhat difficult to deal with. It's not like creating a web app or even a website. There is some specialized technology knowledge that's required to develop and administer IVR systems, so that's sometimes a barrier. When you have an IVR line, getting the word out about it is oftentimes a challenge. In the case of HNI, you're working with a big partner, a telco like Airtel, it's not so much of a challenge, but if you're a grassroots organization, how do you get the word out that this number exists? How do you encourage people to call in? And how do you train people? These are valid challenges of IVR. Interactivity, for all of its benefits of interactivity, one of the key benefits is that farmers can actually record in their own voice, or any person can record in their own voice, so that overcomes language and literacy barriers. But at the same time, navigating an IBR menu is sometimes cumbersome, especially if you have a lot of data. And finally, cost. This is a key thing, and as David mentioned, the traffic, the volume of these systems at scale can be very exorbitant, so you need a sustainability plan. I'll end there. It's been a pleasure speaking with you all, and I look forward to the question and answer.